This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, The Usual Suspects back for hour number two of the three-hour show. One in the books, two to go right here on ESPN 97.5 as we continue to roll on. We've teased it enough, but the Astros are again on a roll. They take 6 of 7 on the road trip, and they come from behind yet again yesterday. Another pitcher not looking so hot. Martis had his problems. You keep messing and playing with fire, you're going to get burned. And when you have Robbie Cano up and the bases loaded, you got a real legit chance to give up some runs, which he did. Should have given up 3, gave up 2. One of the most bizarre calls I've ever seen in replay with the umpire crew yesterday. But Astros luck out there.
Angel Hernandez always seems to find...
Why is he always in the middle of it?
I don't know, but he's, if you don't know what happened, there was a play at the plate. And it was so close that I guess Seattle asked for a replay because I didn't hear if that was an umpire review or if Seattle had asked for it. I'm pretty sure Seattle asked for it. So
they
review it, and it was obvious that he was safe.
Yep.
I mean,
even the TV announcers who normally when it looks obvious
they're
to go
a bit homerish.
Them, yeah, they kind of they'll either go, "Ooh, I don't know, that's too close to call," or they'll try and cover it up. They were like, "No, he was definitely safe."
Yeah, so they come back and Angel Hernandez, they take the headset off and he gives the safe signal and he starts walking off. And then all of a sudden he turns around and yells something to the other umpire and you can see the umpire going, "No, he's out, out, out." So Angel Hernandez starts giving the out signal and of course the Mariners like, "What the hell is going on?" So he has to run over there. And you could see him saying to the guy, "My bad, I messed up."
Yep.
Like, "I messed up. I made the wrong sign. He's definitely out." The other umpire has to come over and say, "Yeah, he's out. He shouldn't have said safe. He is out. The call is out. He is out." Which, so not only do you screw it up and say safe, and you know what? You remember how we were talking just a minute ago about names? How you, if you, sometimes you see it in your mind.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? Like, or I'll be watching a fight. I used to do this all the time. I would be watching a fight and I would think that guy won the fight. All right. And then the judges would get it wrong and they would pick the other guy. But in my mind, since I watched it and he won the fight, like, I remember coming on a show on Sunday and talking about that guy winning the fight because in my mind, he did win it. And everybody's like, "Dude, he lost." I was like, "Oh, that's right. I guarantee you that's what happened with Angel Hernandez is he saw the replay on the big board and went, "Oh, he's definitely safe." And then New York was like, "Yeah, he's out." And so he puts the headset off and in his mind, that dude was safe because that's what he saw and that's what he called. And he was like, "Oh, yeah, that's right. They said he's out." Just a complete weird situation.
Without question. And then he's got attitude walking out of like, you know, "Don't you dare say one word to me" kind of thing. But he is. He's always knee deep in the middle of it.
Fortunately, it didn't affect the outcome of the game. Even with that one run, I mean, you don't know what's going to happen if the inning continues.
Right.
The fact that the Astros won by 6, I don't think that it had an,
but again, it was a much closer game until the last inning.
Sure. That was the second inning when all that occurred.
Right.
But the Astros would go on to score 8. So,
and I didn't want to look like too much of a
homer. And Martes was coming out of the game if that dude was safe.
Well, I liked a couple things. First of all, I liked the fact that they sent Musgrove down. I liked the fact that they just sent a message that said, "Look, we're not going to tolerate this. Yeah, we've got depth in the pitching staff, but even with the depth and the fact that we've got a really good offensive lineup, we're not going to continue to go through this."
Well, keep in mind, I've been saying this now for a week and a half. What happens is now that McCullers is back, these guys that have been filling in, there's not enough room for all of them.
Right.
So I think they have to look at that, and Musgrove just unfortunately had a horrible outing. He hasn't been pitching all that well.
Nope.
We've talked about the fact that they've had 2 5s for most of the year, and that was Fires and Musgrove. Well,
and Fires is figuring it out.
One of those guys has turned it around,
right,
and he's pitching his ass off, and that's Fires. And as much as I want to knock that dude, you can't.
Nope.
He's pitching his ass off as of late. Musgrove, on the other hand, isn't.
And you know why? He eliminated the slider. The slider wasn't working, and he eliminated it.
Yeah,
and he just went curveball, changeup, fastball, and he's locating the curveball. He's a different pitcher. I think something like, for all the bombs he gave up early in the season, I don't think he's given up a home run in like the last 4 games.
Well, but that's why Musgrove is gone, because there's just no room with these guys going to start coming off the disabled list. There's not going to be room for all of them. So you'll probably see Paulino get sent down at some point because Martez and Feliz, or you might see Martez go and Paulino stay.
I think Martez might go first.
But there's those, I mean, yeah, I think Martez might have sealed his own fate yesterday.
No question.
When he wasn't pitching well at all, he wasn't locating, and he pissed AJ Hinch off.
That's what I was getting to. I love the fact that, you know, normally you see the guys slap a guy on the butt, go out there, and just be like, come on, man, just, you know, time to buckle down, let's go. Hinch, he took the sunglasses off so he could look him straight in the eye, and he ripped him a new one and just said, it's time to either, you know, you got a 95-plus mile-an-hour fastball. Either use it or get off the mound.
And I like, and you could hear Jeff Blum saying how Gattis was kind of playing good cop, bad cop. Yeah. He was like, hey, man, it's okay, patting him on the back.
Yeah, AJ walked back off the mound, that's when Gattis kind of came and went, okay, big fella, you're okay, just suck it up here.
So he goes two innings. He only gives up the two earned runs. His pitch count was 63 pitches after two innings.
Yes.
At one point, they showed his balls and strikes. He was at 50-something, and they were even.
Yeah.
You never want to throw as many balls as you do strikes. That's when you know you don't have your command. You're wild. He only had the 3 strikeouts, 4 walks. So not a good day for Martez. And I think he's shown you, though, that he's had flashes that he can be all right.
Yeah,
but this is why I warn everyone about, can we trade Derek Fisher and Martez? Listen, you need to see a good sample size. And other teams are going to want to see a good sample size out of these guys. So sometimes it can be beneficial to bring them up. And in this case, maybe not.
I saw the graphic. He is the youngest player in the bigs right now.
Martez?
Yeah.
At 21?
Yeah.
Yeah.
21 and change, whatever the months are. But yeah, so he's the youngest pitch. So you look, there's plenty of room to grow, and teams realize that. And he's got a live arm. I mean, he was throwing 95, 97.
Yeah.
But he just couldn't locate it. And the walks were frustrating as hell. But I almost tweeted it, and I said, I don't want to be labeled like too much of a homer.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that right after that, they just went to work. They just went to work with the bats and started knocking it around and going deep and putting pressure on them, on the Mariners. And you could almost see it in the Mariners' faces. They're like, oh, God, here they go. And those weren't cheap shots either. Those were some bombs into the upper deck. Gattis' bomb, Yuli hit one in the upper deck.
Yeah.
I mean, when they get those bats going, that offensive lineup is scary.
Yeah, and what else is there to say about George Springer? I don't know what else there is to say about this dude and what the kind of year that he's having. I think I saw it best when someone said he is evolving into a superstar.
Yep.
And that's what you're seeing happen. I mean, we already can say that Altuve is a superstar.
Right.
Correa has, he's close.
I hate people calling him the chosen one because he's not that far yet.
He's close, but I mean, you know, Springer's been here longer. Yeah. He's a little bit older. And I tell you, it's hard to argue with a leadoff hitter. He's only hitting 280, but a leadoff hitter that's slugging 556, which I'm looking at the box score. There's no one in the starting lineup yesterday, no one that played yesterday with a higher slugging percentage than the leadoff hitter. 22 home runs now.
Yeah.
So he's amongst the league leaders, and just you can't say enough about what he's doing for this team.
The great story, too, is you know, he changed bats, but the way it all went about was that he thought Mookie Betts was a great hitter.
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing that.
Mookie
That's crazy.
Betts, he heard about it and left him. They were going to Baltimore after the Red Sox left. Mookie Betts left one of his bats for him, and he started using it, and he started
isn't that crazy?
Hitting the ball, and he's like, I haven't changed since. He goes, if Mookie can rake, then that means I can rake too. So he's got that great axe handle.
He called him, right? And he was like, hey, Mookie, what's the deal? He goes, it's the bat.
Yeah.
And so he said, leave me the bat. And so I guess Betts was there. They were headed to Boston, and so he did.
Yeah, and most players use a 34 or longer bat, but he's using a 33.5, 30.5 ounce with the axe handle bat. And, boy, I'll tell you what, don't change it, George. Don't change a thing because he is killing the baseball right now.
Bad news, I was looking at the power rankings. Not that it matters. I mean, no one cares. They'll be back on top. But the Dodgers have overtaken the Astros for number one in the power rankings. I can't really blame them. The Dodgers are the best team in baseball by far. So, the Astros are still number two, but the Dodgers are mashing. If you haven't been paying attention to the National League and the Dodgers, you need to go check that out.
Yeah.
Bellinger is
rookie.
The Aaron Judge of the National League.
Rookie, and he's got, 27 bombs? Hit 2 yesterday?
Something like that, yeah.
27.
Yeah.
Think about that. The best the Astros ever had before the All-Star break, 29 by Berkman, and Springer's getting close. But a rookie for the Dodgers already has 27.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow. And they're only one game back in the loss column of the Astros for best record in baseball. So that got a little tighter as well. But at least they're in different leagues. as they continue to roll on. So the Astros' day off today. They come back home for a big homestand hosting the A's and then the Yankees all the rest of this week. So that should be fun and entertaining, and they'll be home. So that means we'll even probably have an Astros guest like Josh Reddick maybe on Wednesday would be fun. And he's been hitting the hell out of the ball, so that should be a good time. So you know that if there's a place to go on your radio to find the best and get great interviews, it's the Usual Suspects. That's what we do right here on ESPN 97.5. We'll be back with a whole lot more.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Joel, Nick, and Barry, till 4, right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, as we continue to roll on. I just tweeted the video of A.J. Hinch when he went out and essentially did not hold back when drilling Martez for the less than stellar performance and all the walks yesterday. So that was entertaining. And then El Jefe comes through finally with something that we can use. Which I will retweet.
Ouch.
But, yeah, instead of, you know, his gif and meme game, he came through with some valuable information that actually that it was not just a conversation between Springer and Betts, that others were involved. I think he said Matt Barnes?
The Red Sox Matt Barnes, not the basketball player Matt Barnes.
Right, right.
Because don't fall for that.
I still think, by the way, that would have been the funniest thing ever after we uncovered that. Yes. No one else had that. But if...
Well, they said it on the thing, too, but I hadn't seen it. I forget where I saw it. But yeah, when you looked at it, they said, I think they said it on the TV after we had brought it up.
Right.
But...
they were listening.
Of course. Because
that's what smart people do.
Of course. I'm sure Blummer listens at least once a week, right?
Right.
No, he probably, you don't think he does, do you?
I do.
Yeah?
I actually think Blummer is the kind of guy that would. Because I actually texted Kevin Eschenfelter, and that's a whole different ballgame we can get into, too. No pun intended. But how do you give a guy an entire week off as the TV play-by-play guy when your season isn't that long? You don't work the whole year. I did this for 8 years. One thing is, you got plenty of time to kick it during the off season, but your goal is to not miss a game during the year, not let alone you're going to get a whole road trip off.
Well, maybe something's going on you're not aware of, though.
Good point.
I mean, maybe there's something in his family. Maybe, you know, you never know.
I saw a lot of online discussion about
that. And maybe
that.
He had said, listen, I've already got this vacation paid for before I come on board, so I'm going to need that week off.
Earlier in the year, he had a death in the family. Totally get that.
Yep.
But, like, I saw announcers from other teams having, like, full-blown, are you kidding me discussions online because that was, like, so disturbing to them. But kudos to Kevin Eschenfelter because he does football, he does baseball, he does basketball. And it was really enjoyable listening to those two guys. And I texted him and said, hey, man, great job. Really enjoying the listen. And tell my man Blummer that his boys at 97.5 love him. And he's like, I will, and, you know, make sure that you know that we love listening. So I think they listen.
That's cool. I like that they were giving Julia Morales a hard time. I don't know that Callis would have done that, but she was like, she was super. She did something like that I would do. At some point, she was like, she was talking about Seattle and bands and stuff. She was like, remember when we were here? And oh my God, he's one of my favorites. His name is I don't know his name. She didn't know his
love
name.
That.
And Eschenfelter was like,
and then
oh.
When she did know it, she didn't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah, and so Eschenfelter's like, oh, he's your favorite, huh? But you don't know his name, but he's your favorite. I was like, that's something I would do to you. Yep. That's so beautiful just to get that, you know, I mean, it's just like, you know, just dudes hanging out, just, you know, busting each other's chops. Yeah. I enjoyed that.
I wish they would do the more drums. Of that. Did you see that? And she had, so then they transitioned into her trying to play the drums.
No,
I
didn't see that.
She had the white man's overbite going.
Did she?
Was trying to pound the skins. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So that was funny, too. I enjoyed it. I really did. I thought that the broadcast had a lot of personality. Blummer admits that he's afraid of grasshoppers.
He's afraid of them?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, one of the fans had heard that before tweeted Blummer that they would have a special sign for him. They were sitting on the third base side in like the 10th row, and sure enough, Jeff Blum hates grasshoppers was on a banner. He's like, yep, they tweeted me. They said they were going to do it. That was
pretty
cool.
That's hilarious. Someone is asking about Springer and the home run derby.
Yeah, and I said that. I said, one, he's got to be invited. Two, he's got to accept.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You know, you hear about guys not wanting to mess up their swing right. because it's a specific type of swing you have to have. I think I really do want to watch this year because I want to see Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton.
No question.
Face off. I think that's going to be worth the watch, just those two. Bellinger might be a guy. Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know. How many is usually in it? Is it usually six, three on each side?
Now teams, league teams now? Is that kind of how they split it up?
I don't know. I mean, don't get me
lying. I think it's like five on each from each league, I think.
I don't pay attention. I just watch. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't tell you the rules of all the...
Berman's not going to call it this year.
Oh, God. I am so excited. That's one of the reasons I'll watch. Just not having to watch the human dubstep song. Back, 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 back. Like, he literally sounds like a dubstep song. You ever notice that? Where they're just like, like, dude, what are those noises coming out of your face hole? Why are you doing that? I don't get that. Don't save that either. Nick, you jerk.
That was pretty good.
He's going to play it right now. Oh. Oh, thank God. You just...
I wasn't going to ice. I was trying to find the good Chris Berman because I used to play that all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
I will murder you if you play Chris Berman on the show.
I forgot which on-air host it annoyed. I was doing the same thing. I was just trying to annoy the on-air host, and I kept playing, back, 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 back.
Oh, God, he's the worst. Yeah. He is the absolute
Someone's
worst.
Someone's violating a chicken. It's like a Cadbury commercial.
A little bit, yeah. Somebody else was asking about the home run numbers. They said, last I checked, MLB is on pace to destroy the home run record. What are your opinion on that? I think that's the game now. I mean, it's like the three-point shot falling.
Absolutely
it's like
right.
It's like the passing yards, you know, receivers and quarterbacks putting up ridiculous numbers. You're looking at, you know, this is the three outcome league now. It's home run, out, or walk is the three outcomes, right?
Absolutely right.
And that's what I mean. That's what they're. That's why there's launch angles
your
and velocities
to fit accordingly,
dude. These are. I mean, when you need look no further than this Astros team of a few years ago when they cared about was contact. I mean, they didn't care if you struck out. I mean, not contact, but power. They didn't care if you struck out. Just hit the ball far. So it's not surprising. I mean, I think it's, you know, pitching isn't as good as it once was. You know, we talk about aces and There's some aces still left in this league, but they're sometimes it seems to be concentrated just to a few teams almost. Yeah. When you look at the Red Sox and the Dodgers and
used to be everybody has an ace. Not anymore.
No.
Mm-mm. All right, so we got plenty more show to get to. Right now I want to tell you guys about the No Excuses Summer Pro League happening right here in your backyard in Houston, Texas at the Fondy Rec Center. You want to see NBA basketball? You want to see first team all defensive member Patrick Beverly? You want to see lots of Rockets at a great price of free? Well, you need to get down to Fondy. Pat Beverly, Montrezl Harrell, Bobby Brown, Isaiah Taylor, and more all scheduled to appear. That's just from the Rockets. Jonathan Simmons of the Spurs, Joe Young of the Pacers and U of H, Isaiah Cannon, the former Rocket, Tim Frazier of the Pelicans, many, many more. And they keep adding guys to the rosters each and every day as more and more NBA guys want to play. You've heard of the Rucker Park League. You've heard of the Drew League. Well, this is one of those leagues just like those two, and it's absolutely free. It's the No Excuses Pro League, Summer Pro League, starting July 5th, and it's free. You and the whole family see NBA talent, competitive games, and it's all right there for free at the Fondy Rec Center right in downtown Houston. They'll have a slam dunk contest, three-point shootout, all to kick off the games. But starting July 5th and every Monday and Wednesday for the month of July and then some, they're going to keep playing. It's free admission, gang. The number one pro-am in league in the state of Texas and NBA talent. Go to NoExcusesFoundation.net and check it out. And make sure you take your friends and your family to see NBA talent at the No Excuses Summer Pro League at Fondy Rec Center, all starting July 5th.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Got the police busting at me. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Kudos to Ryan Lavelle, another one of our immense critics.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. also can't tell our voices apart.
What'd he say?
But says, Root Sports forces broadcasters to take a week off. Aaron Judge already said he wasn't participating, so get it together.
Was that what he said? So get it together?
Yep.
Who was this? Where?
Of course, he didn't actually tag you two.
Oh.
Just said it to me.
Okay, so I think get it together is a little unnecessary.
Exactly.
I'm not rolling around looking at Root Sports' vacation policy.
Right, and I'm not sure that that's true,
weirdo.
But I can call people to find out. I can tell you that.
Well, and then...
if it meant that much to
and
me.
And of course, I'm not scouring the internet for home run derby commitments either. So, all right. Jeez. Did you? I know you didn't. I don't even know why that came out of my mouth. Nick, I'm guessing you watched the fights last night, the UFC Oklahoma City card?
I did. I didn't watch the Bellator. I think that was the other thing that you might have... I don't know if you wanted to talk about it, or I put something in the room.
Okay. You know me. I don't care about Bellator, other than the fact that Fedor should stop.
I know Hefe needs to stop making fun of me. I've replaced more than an air filter at the house. I've replaced more than a shower curtain and a light bulb at the house. Okay, El Hefe and Lamont.
They said shower curtain?
A shower curtain, a light bulb, and now something
else. Could you replace a shower curtain?
Yes.
I'm not so sure.
What about soap in the soap dispenser?
I can totally do that.
Okay.
Totally do that.
What's the hardest? That's why I was asking you. What's the most difficult thing you've done at the house?
I'm going to get back with you on that.
Nope. You have nothing, do you?
I don't have anything right now. I can't think
You've
of...
got nothing.
You got a four-month ring out of the tub. And that's just from not cleaning it regularly.
What's the hardest thing you've done at the house? Dishes.
Dishwasher.
What have you fixed lately? A couple meals.
Yeah. So did you watch the fight? So first of all, yeah, Bellator, I'm of the opinion, Fedor, please stop. If Matt Mitrione's knocking you out, just go out a hero.
The only thing I wanted to mention about Bellator is that they did surprisingly better in terms of pay-per-view buys and in terms of they were number one on Twitter the entire pay-per-view. They were number one in Google search worldwide during the entire pay-per-view. This is
really?
All according to Scott Coker when he joined
Ariel
Helwani a little bit earlier today.
Uh-huh.
But he also said 1.1 million pay-per-view buys, which is incredible. If
worldwide,
that's true.
I guess, because Fedor, right? Like, I get Fedor still... an attraction to people worldwide. Like, you're getting the entirety of Russia and Fedor fans around the world. So I get it. But at the same time, I mean, it's Bellator. This is where careers go to die.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it. And plus, I have a feeling Scott Coker inflated everything he talked about.
Yeah. I mean, they revealed, it's an official report. He may have inflated it when he told Ariel, but the first time they had a pay-per-view, and the first time in its company history was Bellator 120. It was King Mo and Rampage, and they only had 100,000 buys. This is their only
second
pay-per-view.
And it didn't live up to the hype either.
Right.
It was whack.
So it'll be interesting to see. But that's
so they went from 100,000 to 1.1 million.
According
to Coker. They added a million buys by having Fedor fight Mitrione.
And maybe some of the other, you had the light heavyweight. You had Davis and Bader. What else did you have?
Mm-hmm.
There was another decent, has-been that was on there.
Yeah, I forget. I didn't even watch it. I'm not interested in it. But I did watch. I was flipping back and forth between the BET Awards. Did you watch that?
The big thing was the New Edition reunion.
Uh-huh. Did you watch any of this?
I saw some of it.
So I watched the opener with Bruno Mars. He was lit. That was fun.
He was?
Oh, God. It was a great opener.
He actually
finally
lost a little weight, too.
It was one of the better openings I've seen in a while, as far as him just getting it was a lot of fun. And then I was kind of flipping back and forth between that and the fights and the game and all the I was watching the Cardinals game too.
But how did we both miss the
Justine Kish? Is it Kish?
Yeah, it's Kish.
Kish Lorraine.
Yeah, well, that's how they pronounce her name.
Yeah, apparently she boo booed her pants in the cage,
and I didn't see it live. I didn't know about it until
I didn't notice it, but I guess when I see discoloration on the mat, I just assume blood. I don't assume boo-boo.
Mm-mm.
But apparently, during the fight, she messed herself. And then...
she wasn't afraid to admit it.
No, a boss. She was just like, well, bleep happens. I'll be back.
She tweeted, yeah.
It's like, okay, so you lost.
How did
Which,
the
by the way,
continue?
I didn't think Felice Herrig... I've never been a Felice Herrig fan. I've always thought she was overrated. She looked good.
Yeah.
Like she did well. I was surprised at how good her ground game was for a kickboxer. She looked well. She looked good on the ground.
And for having crap being rubbed up your knee and your leg.
Oh god, I'd have tapped. I tapped a boo-boo.
How did she keep going?
What did you tap to, potty? I tapped a potty. That's gross.
This is the second time that I know about an incident like this. The first time was in RFA, but it was with a big dude, and they called him the Brown Bomber, and he got a lot of heat. Like
there was
a
guy, there
did.
Was a couple in the UFC that they were accused of messing themselves, and they said they didn't. But there was a guy at Legacy named Levi West. He's a local fighter, and he vomited in the cage in the middle of the fight. Like he stops, he's like, like he just starts throwing up, and he lost. He lost because he started vomiting. The referee called the fight. He was like, nope, you're done.
You're done. That's you stopped it. Fighting.
You
yeah.
threw up.
Basically a submission.
You quit. You
tapped.
This is the same guy, that got choked out by a Von Flu choke. If you get choked out by a Von Flu choke.
Get out of MMA.
Yeah, you shouldn't and be jiu-jitsu. Fighting. Yeah. So.
I agree.
It was but the Kevin Lee-Michael Chiesa fight ended in some controversy. The referee, Mario Yamasaki, stopped the fight when Kevin Lee had a rear naked choke. It was locked in. Don't get me wrong.
It was.
I'm not so sure that he would have got out of it, although Keish got out of it earlier.
And she had it. It was under
it
the
was
chin.
Deep. I was surprised she
chin.
Got out of it. She rolled the right way and all that, and that's great for her, but I'm pretty sure that Chiesa wasn't getting out of this rear naked choke from Lee. Way stronger. However, I don't think he was out, and I don't think he was tapping. I think he was still working. I think he was going to work until he went out. And I think you owe the fighter at least that much to let them do that. In this case, what happened is Chiesa had stopped fighting the choke for a second, and he looked. I didn't see a tap.
I didn't see one either.
But his eyes closed for a second, but he wasn't out. Like, he was struggling. But Mario Yamasaki just inexplicably stopped the fight. And then I had somebody tweet me, oh, well, you know, his arms went limp. No, they didn't. His arms never went limp. They were straight in the air. He was holding them up. You're not out. If his arms went limp, one would have hit that mat. The other one would have hit his chest. Neither of those happened.
And as bad as it sounds, let him go out, man.
Let him go out on his shield. He's a fighter.
How many times have we seen fighters go out? You know, they just, you know, pick his legs up, try to rush some blood back to his head. He wakes up. It sounds terrible. But that's the
game.
It's the MMA world.
Yeah, it's a lot safer. In fact, stuff like that is safer than getting knocked out. I mean, there's no head trauma. It's like you know, just pinching off the blood to, like, it's like when your arm falls asleep.
Yeah,
or something like that. It's just blood flow. That's all it is. It comes back.
Yeah,
because it's so quick.
Yeah.
But Dana White apparently wasn't happy, and he took to his Instagram, and instead of calling him Mario Yamasaki, he was calling him Mario Mazzagatti, because Steve Mazzagatti is notorious for being a terrible ref. So on his Instagram, he says, Mario Mazzagatti does it again. This guy is more concerned with doing this dumbass heart BS than reffing the fight. Steals a great moment from Lee, or let Mike fight it or tap. Nobody gives a bleep that you can make a heart with your hands like a 12-year-old girl. They want you to pay attention to what's going on in the fight and do your job.
Obviously, he was angry, but that was harsh.
Yeah. No one cares that you can make a heart like a 12-year-old girl. That's hilarious. That's typical Dana White right there,
yeah,
boy.
Yeah, that's that brashness.
I don't blame him, though. I'd have been mad, too. Like, I want my winners to win, and I want the guy that's going to lose. Like, you basically decided the fight for yourself.
Yeah.
You didn't let the fighters do it. Again, I'm not saying that the fight would have changed. The outcome would have been different, but you didn't give it that chance.
A little less egregious because Chiesa was probably going to tap or go to sleep.
I think he would have gone to sleep. I don't. After what happened, after the arguments these guys had about his mom and everything else, there was no way he was going to tap.
It's still bad, though.
Yeah, so it is.
But that's pretty much it. Someone sharted themselves, and Yamasaki is a terrible referee.
Good time. What's next? Are you watching anything? Isn't it the Ultimate Fighter one? Isn't that coming up?
I stopped watching the
finale.
Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah, I did. I stopped watching years ago.
It's another, what's it called? Comeback. No, it's all fighters that were in the UFC, and they're trying to make their comeback. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Stevenson and stuff like that.
Boring. Joel.
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
We got it out of the way.
Okay.
We got to see if you would do golf. You guys can.
I did golf in college about 37 basketball. Seconds.
I tried. I didn't
and
even watch it, though.
You actually saw the shot.
I did see the shot, but I didn't watch the whole tournament. I'll watch the Masters final round or something like that. We'll be able to discuss that, but I just, man, there's, the thing about golf, I just feel like there's nothing compelling for me.
Well, the one thing I wanted to tell Joel.
That's me, though.
it's entering a scary era, in my opinion, correct me if I'm wrong, where it's going to be really hard for the same person to win again and again and again. Like, so it's always going to be like this new guy that no one's ever really heard of that wins these majors. And I think that hurts the game. Unless you don't have like someone like a Phil Mickelson.
But okay, but Jordan Spieth now, because he's got his 10th win before the age of 24, ties one other golfer that's been able to do that, Tiger Woods. Mm. Okay. So Jordan Spieth starting to put up some numbers to back up the fact that people thought he was the next coming of Tiger Woods. Rory McIlroy, to your point, though, guys like Rory McIlroy, Jason Day, guys that a couple years ago were supposed to carry the torch, have fallen back. Dustin Johnson fell off a flight of stairs, so that's kind of derailed him a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it's not going to be like it was with Tiger, but they're still searching for that next marquee type guy. Spieth might be that guy, but he's had kind of a rough year up until the last couple weeks anyway. So he had a bad U.S. Open and ended up winning yesterday. So yeah, I mean, to your point, Nick, they're still searching, trying
like
to find that guy.
The big five guys is what? Mickelson, Spieth.
I don't think Phil anymore. You know, Phil's still a popular guy, but he's not top five. It's Dustin Johnson,
Rory McIlroy,
Jordan Spieth. If you want to say most popular, it would be Jason Day, Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy,
Ben
Jordan
Hogan.
Spieth, and
I'm talking names, not necessarily the best golfers.
Those names. Yeah, Phil's still very popular. People like the sexiness of his moobs. He's on the senior tour.
Singh's kind of a name, yeah.
Fred Couples,
another senior.
This is back when
another
I watched golf. Okay. You can tell. Yeah. Yeah. You can tell the
they're
era.
They're still
that,
playing, but they're playing in the Grandpa League.
But
now.
You can tell that's when I was big into golf. Yeah. Was back then.
Yeah. So I don't know if you guys heard about this, but do you believe that a guy that passed away recently blames the bullpen of his favorite baseball team in the obituary? I'm not kidding. I will share that and a whole lot more. The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to the show, Usual Suspects. Joel, Barry, and Nick with you until 4 o'clock when the blitz takes over.
You had a sad story that you told me off the break.
No, don't you bastard. I told you I don't want to talk about that.
You wanted to talk about that.
No, I don't. Okay, I'm not bringing it up. I'm not doing it. You're going to get me in trouble. I'm trying to turn over a new leaf on this show and on this station, and you're going to try to get me in trouble. So it's not going to happen. I did have this realization, though. I was looking at my phone the other day, and actually this morning, and I was, because my wife's birthday is coming up. It's July 2nd. And I was looking, she's texting me what she wants for her birthday, right? But I started looking through the text, and I noticed something about all of our text. Essentially, all of the text between my wife and I is the other person ordering what they want from the fast food restaurant that the other person is at.
I saw you tweet that, yeah.
That's like, I mean, honest to God, like the last text I have from my wife is cheese and onions and mayo, with fries and a Diet Coke. Like that's what, like, and that's I get that from Panera, Whataburger. Like it's just one after the other. That's so sad. That's the only time we communicate.
I actually think that's a good thing.
Is why?
Because you want to communicate.
Well, it avoids fighting, I can tell you that.
Well, texting,
I think. It doesn't.
Why?
Because I don't check the orders, and then I get back to the house, and they didn't put chicken on my salad.
Or you promise pizza that you can't deliver.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, or you promise pizza that you can't deliver.
Franklin and Manny.
How about that?
Yeah, that's right. Bastards, why'd you bring
CSI
that up?
CSI Gal.
Damn it.
That CSI Gal Media. What happened to that?
But I'm just
pizza?
Like, I'm just going through it. I'm like, man, we are some fat asses at heart. That is for sure. Because I'm just like one after the other every day. And by the way, I kind of overdid it this weekend.
Oh, you Friday, told me. Yes. Please share this.
Friday, Before I came to work, I weighed 100. I had, after my jog, I weighed 174 and a half pounds. That's the lowest I've been since I've started all this. Because I've kind of leveled off, and I haven't really been trying. I've just been maintaining what I've gotten down to. My goal is ultimately 170. But I was 174 and a half on Friday. Very happy about that. And then I came to work, and I didn't care. And then, I don't know what happened, but my inner fat boy came out. Last night before I go to bed, I get on the scale. I was 183.6.
Good.
I gained basically 10 pounds since Friday.
That's a healthy feed bag.
I was doing it up, boy.
So much easier to put that weight back on.
Shakes and burgers and, well, hell, I brought donuts yesterday for Houston game day, and that doesn't count the kolaches that I didn't bring for y'all that I had.
Yeah. He had kolaches, and then he brought like a dozen donuts.
Listen, you know what? If I'm bringing it, I'm getting what daddy wants. I'm not buying these guys kolaches. I'm not married to them. They're getting glazed donuts. That's it. I ate so much bad stuff. I had Mexican food Saturday night.
We did too.
Like, oh,
you didn't go to the tortilla, did you?
Yes, I did.
After what happened last week, they probably took care of you.
Huh? The new takeout manager recognized me as the guy that's been getting dumped on, and like asked me like, "Would you like something to drink? Would you like?" They threw in a dessert that we didn't eat, but at least the order was right and everything was great. So maybe it's a step in the right direction.
It's funny. I had a little Mexican food too. I had ninfas though. I mean, it's not bad. Not a bad.
The original or. The original's down on Navigation.
Nah, there's one in my side of town that's probably like five years old, something like that.
Somebody wanted to know why. I'm sorry, this is such a random text. Barry, why do you call crap boo-boo?
Because that's what
it's a name for it. Like it's boo-boo.
One of many names for it that we can use on radio.
It's boo-boo.
Yeah.
That's what I call it. I also call my wife boo. And sometimes I'm like, hey, boo-boo. So it's a different boo-boo. It's like I'm not calling my wife crap. I just want to point that out.
Jeez.
But this is like a different boo.
As opposed to, hey, boo-boo.
Yeah. I don't know. I've always said boo-boo for crap.
So did Yogi Bear. So there you go.
That's right.
Did you see this? An obituary in the Washington area this weekend. A gentleman by the name of Patrick Killebrew. Pat, age 68, passed away peacefully at home June 20th, 2017. And then it gets interesting. After watching the Washington Nationals relief pitchers blow yet another lead, beloved father and husband and longtime attorney, former U.S. Navy navigator and avid baseball fan and player, should please join in a celebration of his life and send donations to the Nationals Bullpen Fund. Oh, man. That's a bit much.
They're pretty bad, though. If that was the Astros, they'd be killing me. They're bad. I mean, you talk about trade deadline moves. Numero uno on the list, the Nationals need a closer.
26th in MLB reliever ERA, 28th in batting average against, 12 blown saves. Best lineup, as they claim, in the bigs, top to bottom. Maybe. Astros are right there. But look, a good offensive team, and it's scary when one-time Astro Matt Albers is the guy that they call out for being the best in the pen. They said, every relief pitcher not named Matt Albers has trouble making it out of an inning without letting the opposition land a ball on Mars.
It's true.
Matt Albers, who basically, I thought, ate his way out of the league a couple years ago after he left Houston, went to Boston, but... When you're getting mad love for being the best in the Nationals bullpen,
that's not good. Yeah, that's tallest midget. That's not good.
That's exactly right. Little person.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. Little person.
Oh.
It's a politically correct term.
Well, that's not how the saying goes, though.
Well, true.
The saying is...
I'm just trying to keep it politically correct.
Oh, now?
Yeah, why not?
Well, Nick had something he wanted to talk to you about.
What?
From at the break that I brought up, you wanted to talk about it. I'll let you and Joel do that. I'm turning over a new leaf.
That was you with your
some disgusting story I saw on Facebook, and I was telling him about it off air, and he tried to throw me under the bus because I'm trying to turn over a new leaf. I'm trying not to be so gross,
as perverted.
Yeah,
as you usually are.
That won't last. So what did what did it have to do with me?
Nothing. No, I just figured maybe you guys would want to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, we can talk about things. I just try to keep politically correct when we talk about little people.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
So we don't have those people lashing out on text messages.
Is that? Oh, that's right, because AJ and Fred got a letter about that.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, back when AJ was fighting. There was a term that was used to describe him.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about now.
And it didn't, yeah, they weren't real happy about that.
Didn't go over well.
No.
Okay.
I'm trying, you know what, I'm really going over in my head who's got a better batting lineup than the Washington Nationals in the National League. You might be right, as much as I don't want to admit it. I mean, the Rockies is pretty stout. The
Rockies are pretty good, but they're starting to fall off.
Well, yeah, they're faltering. I don't know.
Yankees are pretty good.
Yankees aren't bad, but I would have to go, in the National League, I think I would have to go Washington first.
And the Dodgers.
The Dodgers is getting there. It's just that they have, I mean, when you look at their numbers, their pitching staff is ridiculous. They have, you know, Seager and Bellinger are playing out of their mind, and you know, Puig is
been
doing
hurt.
Well. But overall, I mean, top to bottom, 1 through 9.
Yeah.
I think I'd still take the National lineup.
Kid from Rice can absolutely just rake. He was hurt early in the year, but boy, can he hit for the Nationals.
I'm going to say something. You guys are going to tell me I'm stupid. I will go on a record right now and say Royals make the playoffs.
You're stupid.
Yeah.
She agrees.
Okay.
Kirsten agrees.
Yeah.
I just said,
yeah, you agree
I just
with
said
me,
it because he said you're going to call it, say I'm stupid. So I just said, well, why not?
I mean, you guys already jinxed my Rockies pick because they're fading now.
And
as Joel brought it up. As soon as Joel was like, hey, you were right about the Rockies. They've tanked ever since then. He did that on purpose.
I love it when a plan comes together.
But watch out for the Royals. In fact, you know, everyone was talking about the Royals being sellers at the trade deadline.
Yeah, Moustakas was supposed to be going to the Red Sox.
Don't be surprised if they go out and actually acquire some stuff to make a run.
Problem you got to worry about now is, like, with Urias going down for the Dodgers, there's another team that's going to be in the market for a starting pitcher, so the price is going to start going up. The Astros got to start looking at doing what they're going to do sooner rather than later, because the more teams that stay in it and lose pitching, they're going to be active buyers that could affect the Astros trying to get a starting pitcher. All right, 2 in the books, 1 to go. Plenty more shows. We got an hour left to go before we turn it over to AJ and a cast of thousands this week with Fred on vacation. So the Blitz follows us at 4. We've got an hour left to go. Please join us on the show, 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, and, of course, you can hit us up on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.